Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed.
Oh.
Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Say, when I was just out in Colorado, there's no better place to stop by if you're headed outdoors. Going to do some camping, going to be doing some hunting. The Bushnell Factory Outlet Store, been serving Kansas City for years, 8500 Marshall Drive. And every year they do the Father's Day sale. They know what they're doing, and they've got discounts on just about everything throughout the store. I mean, come check it out. Can also try to win the closest to the pin and long drive contest on the indoor golf simulator. You can come down and take advantage of $50 golf GPS, golf laser rangefinders for $130. It is a great time to come shop for Dad. They're going to be open today till 7, Saturday 10 to 5, and then Monday through Friday 10 to 7. The sale going on right now at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Sale, just about everything. Dads, come on down, shop, pick it out, figure out what you want, tell the wife and kids to come down. Just get over here one of these days and check it out, because they've got so many great deals going on throughout the store. I mean, you can't miss it. You cannot come in here and not find three or four different things that you want to walk away with. $40 trail cameras, $35 tactical rifle scopes, backpacks, ground blinds, cleaning kits, shooting rests, mats, clay pigeon throwers, targets, everything you need right here. And a great Kansas City company, Bushnell. Great friends of Sports Radio 810 WHB and us here at the program. It's great to be here. Back with the folks at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Store. Let's talk to Danny Klinkscale. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. By the way, happy birthday. I think today or tomorrow is our buddy Joe Spiker's birthday. So happy birthday to our buddy Joe, the fine proprietor of Easton Roofing. Many financing choices right now. In fact, we could have some strong storms blowing through if your roof's been taking a beating, or maybe it does take a beating. Call Easton Roofing. They'll be happy to come out and give you a free inspection, free estimate, 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing employees are who will be doing the work. You know, a lot of people come around knocking on doors after a storm. It's really just one guy in a truck, and then he goes out and, you know, throws you a bid, and then he finds some people he's never worked with to come put your roof on. Good luck with that. Call Easton Roofing today, 913-257-5426. Online at EastonRoofing.com, getting you back to business faster. That's Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. Danny, how are you, my friend?
Doing just fine. Joe Spiker and I were in a lengthy text conversation last evening, exchanging music, videos, and opinions and such. That was kind of fun. We actually had a 2.5-hour power outage at our home last night, so we spent the time watching YouTube on my computer.
Why was the power out?
I think there was an accident or a fire or something. I don't know. It was in Shawnee, and it wasn't, you know, a widespread thing. I thought a car
didn't tumble into your side yard again,
no,
did they?
I thought at first that, you know, I said, "Oh, here we go." The first really super hot day, and they got overloaded or whatever. But apparently, there was some kind of accident that required crews, I guess.
Well, let me say this for our folks at the power company. Big fan of all the guys and gals that work outside and do it all. We had our power was off yesterday, but they told us it was going to be off because they had to change out a box or something. They had to turn it off. And I remember I called them one time saying, "Hey, what time do you think it's going to be?" And they didn't end up doing it before. They did it yesterday, and we weren't even home, so it didn't matter. But I was joking. I was like, you know, everybody gets pissed when you turn the power off, right? But, oh, it better all work. Like, nobody ever understands, like, maintenance has to be done. And so for all the guys that are out there working in any line of work, you know, get plenty of fluids, but we appreciate what you do, and I hear you. Trust me, if when the power goes out, it sucks, but you want it to work, right? So we all want it when we want it. You got to, you know, have some patience every now and then, unlike Danny, who's just going to come on and complain about everything.
Actually, it was rather pleasant. Now, if it had gone on for much longer, it was going to get mighty hot in the old Klinkscale abode,
right.
But it was just a fun little episode with my wife and I sitting down in a dark basement and watching some tunes. It was all right. It was cool.
Yeah, very good. I like it. Danny, let's start with the Royals, if you don't mind.
Don't mind at all.
What did you think of Jackson Coar's debut?
Oh, boy. That's about as bad as you could get. Let's hope the guy can rebound. It has to have some trepidation going into his next start. Which is what, tomorrow? Is
that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Because he just looked completely freaked out. I mean, utterly not a shred of command or, you know, rebound or anything. I mean, he threw three wild pitches, and then he threw another bunch of wild pitches that were caught somehow. I mean, it was nuke-la-loosh. It was awful. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. And I mean, he made Daniel Lynch look like a bastion of absolute poise. So, you know, I'm not going to write the guy off after, you know, two thirds of an inning or whatever it ended up being, or any stretch of the imagination. But it just doesn't get much worse than that. I mean, there were several statistical firsts or onlys within that, and so just bad. I mean, what else can you say? His best pitch, obviously, is his changeup, and that was about the only pitch that he could throw for a strike, but he threw him for a doozy of strikes.
I'm surprised, and I think it's going to be interesting, because I don't think Asa Lacy is going to be the guy they trade. But, you know, just to kind of build on what we were talking about with David Leske last hour, you know, all this depth of pitching, in all likelihood, they're going to have to move some of it. And I think, you know, the when guys are worth the most, I assume general managers still are human. And when a guy hasn't failed yet at the big league level, it's nothing but ceiling. And they're one by one getting all these guys up to the big leagues. Now, Alec Marsh hasn't, and as I said, Asa Lacy hasn't yet debuted. But once they've all, you know, you're taking a little bit of the shine off, right? I mean, maybe we're wrong, and they're all in on every one of these arms, and they're not going to move any of them. But it does seem like, do you agree with what David said, that even with Prado, even with Bobby Witt Jr., that they're still probably a bat away?
Well, yes. I think that, and you assuming that both Prado and Bobby Witt are going to be very good is one thing. And, you know, it's just the Royals are such a mystery right now because, you know, Hunter Dozier isn't old, but he's playing awful right now. So is he part of the lineup that we're perceiving? Their best hitters, or the best performers so far, are their oldest players. Now, they're not old, but in a couple of years, a couple of them will be getting old.
Right.
And so I think there's a lot of flux. You know, you draft this many pitchers, and you're really not going to have much wiggle room as far as the bats that, you know, and they traded a couple of bats. They got Benintendi in return, obviously, but so they're going to have to have a pretty high percentage, a higher percentage than normal of hitting on the few hitters that they have drafted high. So, yes, I think they might be a little short. You know, we'll see. But all this to the original point, having guys go out and wet their pants in their debuts or in their first couple outings is no way to put good thoughts in the minds of other general managers.
Right.
Because a lot of times you'll trade, as you said, you'll trade prospects who have put up gaudy numbers in the minor leagues, but maybe he haven't even thrown a pitch in the major leagues. And so this could be the only major. Well, look what he did when they brought him up that one time. I mean,
right.
It can't help.
Yeah, I mean, like Josh Staumont is a fine reliever. But at one point, he was this 100-mile-an-hour starter. And, you know, as good as he is now, and seemingly where every reliever now throws 98 miles an hour and gets 14 strikeouts per nine, like, people are really excited about Josh Staumont, and he's very good. But there's like four Josh Staumonts on every team now, right? And because we're coming out of a, you know, back-to-back 100-loss seasons, and then I think last year was on pace for 90-something or whatever it was going to be, we're like, oh, Staumont, like, oh my God, this is, you know, Wade Davis, you know, 2.0. No, it's not, because Wade Davis 2.0 now would get like 19 and a half strikeouts per nine. That's how good all relievers have gotten in baseball now. But, you know, had they, like, I'm happy that Staumont's here, and I'm happy that he's a fine reliever, but, you know, I think had they traded him when he first got to Double A and was still being viewed as a starter, they probably would have more for him now than what he's giving him, right?
I would agree with that. And now it's probably a situation where you just hope he works out for you, because a hard-throwing relief pitcher, they're unfortunately, they're a dime a dozen, period.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So what do we, you know, we said before on these big four, and if you want to throw on Marsh and Lacy, you know, I remember when they had their 10 guys in the top 100 or 9 guys in the top 100 and they had all the pitchers, and we said at this time and everybody got upset, hey, look, frontline starter, back of the rotation starter, quality reliever, and maybe a bad reliever, and a guy who never sees the big leagues. If you get that out of these five guys, and the five were Duffy, Montgomery, Lamb, Dwyer, and Odorizzi. We said, if you get that out of those five guys, you've probably beaten the odds. Well, as you look at it, Dwyer never even got close to the big leagues. Lamb got a sniff and really was of no consequence. Montgomery's been a good reliever at times when that's been his role. He was a good reliever for the Cubs and Mariners for a stretch. Danny Duffy's been what I think, you know, the stuff plays like a top of the rotation guy, but really he's been, for his career, a middle to back of the rotation guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Odorizzi at times has been a top of the rotation guy, but he's kind of same thing as Danny Duffy. That's what those guys were. What is this crew? Let's go six deep. What should the expectations for the fans be on these six guys?
Well, I think the expectation should only be slightly higher.
Okay.
But you want to obviously overperform those expectations. But time after time after time, we've seen these big classes or big groups of highly touted pitchers be seemingly the saving grace for a franchise. And, I mean, the Mets have done it like three times and gotten precious little out of it. You know, it gets more publicity because they're the Mets. But you know, I can remember them in, you know, this generation.
Paul Wilson, Jason Isringhausen, and
Bill Pulsifer.
And Bill Pulsifer. Right. That was going to be it.
And I think there was a fourth one, too, but I can't remember who it was. But anyway, it was supposed to be, you know, it seemed like, oh, look, there's the rotation of the future. I think it was at least four because you were thinking, there you got a rotation there. And you don't.
Right.
You don't. And recently, out of, you know, Matt Stegram, Syndergaard, you know, that whole group, and they acquired Syndergaard, but he was into their system. And I think there was another one there, too. I mean, Syndergaard's been great when he's pitched, but he's hardly pitched. Wheeler, I guess that was, yeah. And, you know, Matt's is pitching well now, but it's for another organization after struggling. And now DeGrom is Cy Young. So that's the kind of thing you kind of expect. If you get one star, that's what you're really kind of looking for. If you got a star who can be your horse for a decade or something, you take that and just toss away the other ones, really. I mean, but a smaller market team is going to want to have a little more return on that. But I would think out of those six guys, if you got a frontline starter, a back of the rotation starter, and a good reliever out of the six, that's good return. Unfortunately, that is.
So back to the offense. Are you optimistic that the offense will be good enough next year to be a contender?
They're not going to be good enough to be the driving force of a contender. I think they have the possibility to be good enough if the pitching comes to where they think it does. Shockingly, this year's Royals team is, you know, they're ninth in the American League in run scoring. And you can't believe it when you've watched all the games this year. I mean, you're like, oh, they got to be 14th or 15th. They got to. Well, a big part of it is the Royals score 1, 2, 3 a lot. And then they don't seem to score 5 very often.
Yeah. Right.
They'll score 9, and then they'll do what they did during the 5-game losing streak, which is score a total of 9.
And that, yeah, you
that's
just mentioned
bad math. That's bad math.
After the game a couple nights ago, Mike Matheny said that this team struggles with like the having it carry over to the next day. They were just talking specifically about the fact that they didn't score much in the first inning when they had the table set. He said this team has carryover from game to game, maybe as bad as any team I've ever managed.
Said, this team gets deflated as much as any team I've ever seen, I believe he said.
Yeah.
That was the quote. I didn't hear it. I saw it in print.
We played it yesterday. That's what it was.
And that's while it was said in a matter-of-fact manner, that is about as rough a comment about a team as you can make. That's like, you guys are gutless. I mean, that's what he was saying. Translation.
I'll stop you when I think you're veering off course.
No, well, we had this discussion this morning.
Yeah.
I agree. And you know, my statement was, and you know, Mike Matheny, I think, is a hell of a guy. I really enjoy talking to him. People I've talked to really enjoy working with him and around him. Is that just his way? He's such a nice guy. That is his way of kicking him in the pants?
I guess he didn't deliver it in a fashion that was, you know, bombastic in any way.
Right.
But the words, and I read them, so that was worse. But then I subsequently did hear them, but they were delivered in a fashion that was, you know, I think took some of the edge off it. But my goodness, as somebody who has called himself gutless and worse more times than you can even count on a golf course, I know what those words mean. It means you are, you know, pick your word for being less than a stout man. And that's what he was saying, that a couple things go wrong for you and you just fold up and shrink up and fade away.
Is that because these guys, you know, there's a fine line between the Royals love their players as an organization more than any organization out there. And they have loved guys to successes, you know.
Right.
Gerard Dyson, 40th round or 50th round pick. You know, there's a great example that they, even the 50th round guy, they loved him so much they made him into a valuable piece of a championship team. But the flip side of that is that they're ill-prepared. Like we were talking about this morning, and I said, you know, it's almost like they love their kids so much that they wake them up, and they basically are a human snooze factor. Like, I know people, like my mom would come in, a buddy of mine in college is like, yeah, man, I just can't get going. I'm like, well, why? And he's like, well, my mom would come in like every 10 minutes and keep telling me to get up. Right? I'm like, not in my world. My mom's like, you're late. It's your ass. Like, you know, sorry. You know, and it's like, well, but, you know, and you know the kid's parent, the guy's parent, his mom was just like, oh, you know, I got to help Billy. I got to help him. And you do that, and then all of a sudden he's in the real world, and he doesn't know how to pay his bills because mom did all that, and doesn't know how to do his laundry because mom did all that, you know, doesn't know how to, you know, fix anything because dad did all that. And, like, is there a little bit of, like, they're so loved up, and you can do it, you're the best, you're there, we got your back, that they get to the big leagues, and there's no more. Now it's just you're left to the devices of your opponent and the fans' reactions, and they wet themselves.
Well, it's almost sort of, to continue your analogy about the home, it's almost like, boy, I struck out. I let Daddy down. I feel so bad.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like I let my dad down. He's been so nice to me. He's patted me on the head and everything, and now I go out and strike out. Boo. You know, and then you go to the plate the next time, and they're pressing. You know, there's no way to really quantify it, but I'm just reacting to what he's saying.
In fact, since we've talked about it enough, let's go ahead and play what Mike Matheny said after the game the other night.
First and in the fourth, with that money on the table. And it affects this team. There's no question about it. We talk a lot about the importance. You know, you just don't want to leave money on the table when they're giving you opportunities. And second, it has a carryover effect on this team, maybe as much as any team I've ever been around. When we don't capitalize on those opportunities, it deflates. And that's something that we don't necessarily want to be true, but it is. And so I think increases the importance of our situational hitting. We get guys in scoring position. We've got to figure out ways to put pressure on the defense and take what they're giving us. But, you know, I got the guy out there with some swing and miss sliders. It's a lot easier said than done, but I know this group can get it done.
That's actually, he said any team I've been around, not just managed. So that takes into account a 10-year major league playing career as well.
And so what the next time there's a big situation and a guy's up, these players hear this stuff. He might have said it to him. And if he said it to us, and he says, well, I know they have the ability to do it, but he just went out and said, when it happens one time, it's likely to happen again.
Do you believe that anyone can just be loved into their full potential?
No.
Forget about coaching. I mean, the only coaching I know is little kids, right? So I'm not going to – but just like, in, you know, at work – right? Like, you know, like we talk about, like, just the interns or even people you're around. Like, at some point, somebody's got to be like, no, this is important. Like, I remember there was somebody, it doesn't matter who, but, like, we were doing the pregame, Curtis and I, and there's a guy, good guy, I like the guy, and he was kind of hanging around and chatting with everybody and distracting people, and I got up during a break and I said, listen, this is my job, man. Like, I pay the bills with this. Stop screwing around here. Get the hell out of here. Get out of the way. Figure it out. And to the guy's credit, he's like, and he apologized, and he came to me later. He's like, hey, dude, I'm sorry. I understand what you're saying. I said, well, it's all right, but you just got to know, like, when we're – this is what we do for a living. It's not a goof time.
And in his defense, Danny said, I'm sorry, and he left.
It wasn't Danny. But he has come to me since and said, hey, that was one of the best things. He said that made it clear to me, like, what it is we're doing and that it matters. And, you know, like, I'd like to think that, okay, good. And I still like the guy a lot. And, you know, but I don't know, like, I think that might have been Mike Matheny. Like, okay, we've done the lovey-dovey all through the minors. Here's the wake-up call, guys. You guys are soft.
Right. That's basically what he was saying. You guys are soft. And, you know, this hardly is, you know, Mike Malone up there, the Nuggets coach, who is just awesome.
Don't call him Mike. He will let you know it's Michael, even if you're live on television.
Right. But yeah, but I was just lucky I remembered his first name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One team, what did he say? One team wanted to be here, one didn't.
And he says the fans are chanting sweep, and if we don't do something about this, they're going to be right.
Yeah.
Or in even stronger terms. I mean, he's a beauty.
Yeah,
Mike Matheny's not being like that, but I think sometimes, you know, there's an edge that every coach has to walk along, I think, that maybe we won't see it. We all think that we got all platitudes and positives all the time out of Ned Yost, that he never criticized his players. But I think we all felt like there was some ass chewing going on.
Oh, there was,
behind the scenes.
I've been told of some of them that came down, yeah.
So, you know, into the office and whatever, behind closed doors. And I think that is the mastery of coaching, or man management, as they call it in soccer, which I think is a wonderful term, is to be, to use a soccer example, you know that, you know, for one time I did one of our Kansas City profiles with Peter Vermes, and just a wonderful person to interview, and we did 2 hours of basically the profile. We had to do two of them because it was so long. And he was fantastic, as he always is. And you just end up feeling comfortable and feel like, you know, there's a sort of a bond between you, even though he hardly knows me. And so I said, you know, I just matter-of-factly said that I think that everybody kind of knows that you're difficult to play for, you know, that you demand a lot. And he goes, oh, no, 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 no. And he was nice about it, but he says, I think you're wrong. He said, I think I'm really easy to play for, because I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do. And if you do it, we're good. And so I think there's, you know, that's the dance that any coach or manager has to do, is to have his players have a little bit of fear of him, want to do what's right, but also like the person enough that you're just not sitting around in the clubhouse grousing about the guy all the time. I mean, that's a tough pull.
It is. And you know, there's an edge to Mike Matheny.
Right.
When Ryan LaFever tells that great story about, you know, coming up to bat at Michigan, he's playing at Minnesota, Matheny's the catcher, and he said, you know, it's cold, and he said, every pitch I'm stepping out trying to warm my hands. He's a Southern California kid playing, you know, I'm trying to warm my hands, and I'm messing with the gloves, and he said, and Mike looks up at me and goes, are we going to blank and play today or what?
Right.
And so, you know, there's an edge there, because that's what he said to a guy playing for the other team. You know, I mean, he wasn't afraid to challenge that. I'm sure there is an edge back in there when he gets in there. All right, we're talking to Danny Klinkscale. Let's take a break. I want to get into the college football playoffs with Danny Klinkscale and what he thinks about it. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing, Joe Spiker and his great team, locally owned and operated Easton Roofing, home or business. They got you covered with your roofs, your gutters, your insulation, more than 1,000 jobs done last year. Locally owned and operated family business, 4 straight years voted best of houses. Get a free estimate today. Get some rough-looking weather over here by the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Can tell you that. And I don't know that it's raining yet, but it looks like we're going to get hit with a bomb as dark as it got outside. If you get some damage, call Easton Roofing, 913-257-5426. Find them online at eastonroofing.com. Find the Bushnell Factory Outlet at 8500 Marshall Drive. The Father's Day sales event going on right now. It is Monday through Friday, 10 to 7. Saturday, 10 to 5, get great deals like binoculars starting at $35, tactical rifle scopes, $35, $40 trail cameras, all kinds of great deals throughout. It is your one-stop shop for everything Dad wants. It's the Father's Day sales event at Bushnell Factory Outlet.
The program with Soren Petro.
One take wonder.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. Three pitchers have thrown a solo no-hitter and been part of a combined no-hitter. I asked for any one of the three.
Solo and combined, I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, that's a fairly arcane
Dave Rigetti.
No.
Two of the three did it as a starter.
One Jack Morris?
Nope.
This question Derek sucks.
Dennis Eckersley?
One guy Derek threw a perfect game. No, not Derek Lowe.
Was Derek Lowe there?
Is it Jackal? Is it Jackal?
I have no
yeah, there really isn't. Danny's right. There really isn't much you can put unless you know it. Cole Hamels.
So it's a bad question?
I think it's an interesting answer, yeah. But it's not one. Okay. We're not going to be batting it around.
No, Cole Hamels, Kevin Millwood, and Mike Witt. Witt's the only one to pitch in relief in the combined no-no. The jumping off point, it was on this date in 2003, Danny's beloved Astros became the first of two teams to use six pitchers in a combined no-hitter.
I do remember that.
You know who can sniff out a bad question, Soren? That caller Tom from Stump the Chumps yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hear the show.
He's nailed.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were on vacation. We had a caller. He was quite surly to Curtis and I. But he knew a bad question when he heard it.
Okay. Good to know. By the way, playing for Good Sense there. Good Sense. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com. You can put your order in tonight. Going to have some folks over to the house. I'm getting one of the party trays. That's a great thing to have as well. If you're having any get-togethers, GoodSenseSubs.com. Now 30% more meat. It's at Good Sense, founded in Lenexa, right by where we are at right now at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. 8500 Marshall Drive. It is the, I call it like the northwest corner of 87th and I-35. Marshall is the outer road that runs on the west side of the highway. Great, great deals for Dad. People taking advantage of stuff like 40% off on select night vision. End of season turkey decoy sale is going on right now. They have got the spotting scopes for $25, tactical rifle scopes for $35, $40 trail cameras. You got a hunter, you got a golfer. You come take a shot at the long drive and closest to the pin competition. It is all here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Father's Day sales event, Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, Saturday, 10 to 5. We're talking to Danny Klinkscale, brought to you by Easton Roofing. Danny, the college football playoff, I'd like 16, but I'm not going to hate. We got 75% of the way there now, where we picked up, another 50% by adding eight teams. I said earlier, all it took, if I'd have known, all it was going to take was a global pandemic, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in lost revenue, and the threat of lawsuits and lost revenue and federal laws over name, image, and likeness, then I would have gotten all this taken care of a long time ago.
I think everybody really doesn't care about the whys and wherefores. They're just happy that they're probably going to, that they're likely, it seems, that they float this trial balloon with no seeming opposition except maybe to slight details of it, and get more football. I think that maybe the good idea about the 12 is that the top four seeds are the most likely teams to play the whole thing, and if you give them a bye, that means that you're playing one less football game because the other teams are probably going to lose, so they won't end up playing 17 football games, which you could. And, that's a lot of football. So I don't mind the 12. I think I would be more in on just flat out the conference champion gets to go no matter what, of the five major conferences, no matter, whether it wasn't even a great record that year. I think that creates a real care of the college season in a conference. Now, the likelihood that somebody in a Power 5 conference is not going to be rated among the top 12 when they win the conference doesn't seem real high to me, but that's about the only tweak I can think of that I would make.
Yeah, I was. So you have to be what?
In the top 12.
One of the top 12, so you can be a conference. Yeah, I don't like that either. I think that at least the Power 5 should be automatics.
Right.
For a conference championship.
I mean, you could have a withering, you know, battle in one of these. Say you had a conference that where there were really five really good teams that year. And you know, so you ended up with three losses, but you still won your conference somehow.
Tell me, and you're right, in all likelihood, if you win one of those leagues,
you're going to be in
you're going to be there. But you know, in this day and age, particularly in the SEC where they only play eight, if you really want to make the regular season count, then that would be the best way, is to make those at least count for your money leagues. That would be the best way, because then even if you start 0-4 or 0-3 in the leagues that play a real schedule, then you're still in the fight, right? All those regular, those conference games now still matter, because, hey, we lost a tough one to Alabama. We kind of got upset by a feisty, you know, Coastal Carolina, and we lost our rival game to Iowa, if you're Iowa State, let's say. Well, but you're still in it, right? Go win the league, and right, you can get in. So I'm with you, and maybe that tweak will be added to it when it's all said and done. I heard like, well, we don't need that many teams. There's not that many teams that have a chance. I don't like that line, because we don't know. That's applying it to today's standards, where it's been all about a four-team playoff. I agree. It's Alabama and Clemson. Kids are, you know, like, if you're the best of the best, you really only want to go to Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, and what, LSU, maybe Oklahoma, throw in Oklahoma. There's just those schools. But now when you open it up to 12, I don't know that every kid feels like Alabama's still going to do well, Clemson's still going to do well, but don't you have a better sales pitch at Iowa State to keep a great kid home at Iowa State, or a great kid out of the Chicago area at Illinois, when you say, well, listen, you know, we don't have to just be one of those top four or five schools. To me, this should, you know, 10 years after we've been doing this, open it up to other schools being more talented.
Yeah, I would think so. I'm in looking at the recruiting landscape now and all the transferring and everything else, there seems to be, I think it's difficult to figure out the motivation of young athletes in what they're looking for as far as a destination is concerned. It seems like, you know, there's precious little thought of who you're playing for, really. It's, you know, you want to play for Alabama because they're really good, but what's the reason you want to play for Alabama because they're really good? Well, because all their players go to the National Football League, and that's what you're thinking about. And if it doesn't happen, you'll go somewhere else. And a young athlete has the right to be selfish, but it seems like there's more selfishness in pitching the guy at Iowa State to an Iowa kid and say, you know, we got a better chance at making the playoff here. You can still go to the playoff here if you go here rather than go to Alabama. I wonder how much cachet that really holds.
I would think if you're only going to Alabama because you think that's the only way to get to the NFL is to play in those big games, I think now kids are going to – I think there's no doubt that seeing Alabama and Clemson play two games at the end of the year is a huge billboard for those programs.
No question. No question at all. But, you know, that we've seen so much lopsided play even with only four teams in there. You know, these teams seem to obviously be at their peak, and their motivation's not an issue or any way, shape, or form. And we seemingly see the better teams dominate this, and is going as the 12th team or the 10th team and getting your ass kicked, does that do anything for the program's image, as it were? I mean, I think Oklahoma's probably taken some dings as far as recruiting is concerned, because they're making the playoff, but they've ordinarily gotten killed.
I think it'll do wonders for OU. Like, now you get a chance to come
to win a game,
sixth and win a game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yes,
you know?
I do agree with that part. Totally.
Yeah, I'm definitely I'm excited.
Sure.
Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No, I am. I'm excited too, because I think that it just creates more high level college football games, of which we don't get enough.
Right.
Period.
the playoffs last year, I think most people saw this. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma would have been the top four. And then 5-12 would have been Notre Dame, Coastal Carolina, Texas A&M, Indiana, Florida, Iowa State. What a great game that would be. And Cincinnati, Georgia. Like, that's a great one. CBS, I started to quote the story. It's on CBS Sports. They went back like the last 7 years. 2019, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma are the top four. Then the rest of the field, 5 Georgia plays 12 Memphis, 6 Oregon plays 11 Utah, 7 Baylor would have played 10 Penn State, and the 8-9 would have been Wisconsin, Florida. Right? I love that there are, you know,
well, there's
some schools you don't see all the time.
Right. Well, also, I think there's the realization that what those matchups used to be were good bowl games that people cared about.
Right.
And people don't care about them anymore because you're not, quote-unquote, playing for anything. These four teams over here are playing for the ultimate prize. You're just playing a game.
Who cares about the Orange Bowl?
Right.
Let me give you one more year. 18, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State are the top four. 5-12, Notre Dame, Penn State. 6-11, Georgia, LSU. 7-10, Michigan, Florida, and then this game I love, 8-9, UCF, Washington. Central Florida fans would have to shut up about their national championship. Remember all the whining they did because
they didn't get to play?
No more. No more of that. You know, you get a chance. They get a chance to step on the field and prove it or get slapped back to the pack. That's what we all want, isn't it?
Totally agree. And I think it will do something, I think, for a team like Central Florida, which has proved that they can be good. And then if they could, what you have to do, I think, however, to really make it a benefit to you, if you're a team that's outside the top four and springs an upset, there's got to be some upset. You got to win a game, win some games. I mean, if it's chalk all the time and, you know, the 8 through 12s are never winning, then it would be just seen as a money grab, which, of course, it is. But so is everything.
When I hear those teams, though, I think some 8-12s would win.
Those are good.
You mean win it all or win some games?
No, I think they need – right. They don't have to win it all, but, yeah, they need to win some games.
Right. Do you want to say no 12 seed will ever win a game in the playoff way you did about a 16 seed in the basketball?
No, I'd say that. I have absolutely no remorse about saying that. I fully believe it, and I think it may I'll say it here. It'll never happen again.
Oh, God.
I like
yes,
how after
will.
The fact,
it absolutely
I
will.
It
absolutely will happen again.
If I believed
do you
it,
just like being wrong.
If I believed it strongly, which I did, completely believed it, didn't have any trepidation about saying it. Why wouldn't I say it now?
Because it happened, and you look like a jackass.
No, I don't look like a jackass. I was just wrong.
Well, you and I have different definitions, then, I guess, buddy.
Well, being in a business where you've spent, you know, well on 40 years giving your opinion, you're going to get some wrong.
Did you not hear the beginning of the show? Never gotten anything wrong on this show.
We are undefeated.
Right?
We have picked every game right ever.
Exactly.
I am impressed. I'm waiting for all the columns and the TV stories about how this sucks and it's bad for college football. Where are all those people that for all these years have said, no, it'll ruin the regular season? Where are they today?
Well, I think it's hard to write that column because if somebody has, you know, half a brain, they have seen how a four-team college football playoff has killed other major good bowl games that we used to like watching and say, oh, that's a great intersectional matchup of, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then nobody really cares about those anymore.
But don't you like we brought you on early to talk about Phil Mickelson winning. You were wrong, and so we talked about it. We talked about when UMBC won. I've had some bombs too. I mean, I can't think of what they are, but off the top of my head, because I just try to forget it. Because you're right, we're paid to have.
Well,
opinions.
Had a nuclear bomb, so I mean it's easy to remember.
But that which is great radio. But, like, you came on and faced the music. Like, I think all the idiots that have been saying no, 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 no should face the music with a column about, like, hey, I still think this is bad because of this, this, and this. I think, you know, like, when we make mistakes, we own up to it.
I'm sure there's a balding guy who covers the Southeastern Conference who probably didn't like it.
Yeah, probably.
Balding?
Yeah, bald.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah. No, I actually heard him on television. They actually brought him on for his wonderful charm and wit, and he doofused out something.
He probably likes it because he thinks that, you know, there's no restriction on the amount of teams that can come from any conference, so he probably thinks that, you know, the Southeast Conference is going to get five teams some year.
We'll talk about the Chiefs offensive line with Danny Klingscale. That's coming up next. Danny, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Go online to eastonroofing.com. If money is tight but the roof needs to be fixed, that's okay. Easton Roofing has many different financing options. And maybe it's just a repair. They're happy to do repairs. Maybe you can put off the re-roofing for a couple of years. If you can't, lots of financing options with Easton Roofing. They're not like the other roofing companies. Go to eastonroofing.com to see more. We're at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Sale, Father's Day sales event going on right now, 8500 Marshall Drive, all kinds of specials throughout the store. It's raining outside. It ain't raining inside. Come on in here. Try your luck at the golf simulator closest to the pin and long drive contest going on. Sale items like backpacks, ground blinds, cleaning kits, shooting rests and mats, clay pigeon throwers, targets, $40 trail cameras, $35 tactical rifle scopes, $25 spotting scopes. It's all here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Sale, 8500 Marshall Drive.
The program with Soren Petro.
Yeah, you know it. Let's go.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We're talking to Danny Klingscale here in the program, live at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Father's Day sale going on right now, 8500 Marshall Drive. That's just the outer road here of I-35, just north of 87th Street. 20% off Camp Chef pellets for the pellet smokers. Get them right now. $50 golf GPS and, of course, the number one rangefinder in golf. It's the Bushnell rangefinder. Get them starting at $130 right now. Perfect place to get Father's Day gifts is at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Danny, Kyle Long hurt. I feel bad for the guy.
You decide to come back and, you know, fight hard and work hard to, you know, to get in football condition and then get hurt. Yeah, that's rough.
But the right side of the offensive line, I've said all along, I haven't heard really anybody else. I just hear this giddy, like, oh my God, like this is going to be the best offensive line in football. There's a reason why they signed all these guys because I'm still a little more questionable on the right side than I think most are.
Well, I think that's fair. You have one player who hasn't played football in a long time and another one who looked horrendous in the Super Bowl. So those are your two starters right now. And, yes, they have other options of players who can outplay them and move past them. And we, on the left side even, Orlando Brown Jr. played half a season at left tackle. He did so effectively. But, you know, I'd say the only really rock-solid for sure player is Tooney. Yes, they have depth, and yes, these guys can be good players, and until the biggest game of last season, the Chiefs have kind of pieced things together and gotten better play out of some guys through the past few years under Andy Reid that you'd expect on the offensive line, but there's no certainty here, I don't think.
Yeah, no doubt. Danny, you're the man. Stay dry. It is pouring here, my friend.
It's black here.
Have yourself a great weekend. Danny Klingscale brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, NBA playoffs. How many teams have overcome a 2-0 deficit twice in the same postseason? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.